98.5thesportshub.com is your connection to the world of Boston sports wherever you go. 98.5thesportshub.com. It's T&R. T&R on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Kutcher and Rich.
Okay, keep doing it.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Kutcher and Rich. Lots coming up on the show today. Now, the biggest part, Hardy has created some game to make fun of me. That's coming up at 8 o'clock.
It doesn't necessarily have to make fun of you.
Yeah, it's going to end up being so.
If you're just a decent person who cares about other people, then you'll do fine.
Yeah. It really, the game you've put up really shows if you pass it, you're almost Gandhi.
I don't think so.
The way it's been described to me.
We'll compare you maybe to John Wallach.
So 17 years of sobriety. Congratulations, first of all.
Thanks.
So you go to rehab.
Not quite 17. Like 16 and a half.
Do you know, like, by to the day?
Yeah.
Yeah, I figure you would. So how long did you go to rehab for?
Literally, like, a couple hours.
So, you checked yourself in, and then what happens? They give you a cavity exam?
No. It was like, nothing like that. It was, like, during, like, the whole, like, process and everything, like, checking in. I'm like, you know what? I've already been scared straight, and I was just done. I'm like, oh, my God, is this what it's going to take? You know what? I can do this. So it's not like I did it alone, but I'm like, no, I'll go to meetings, and I had already met people, and I had already tried to, like, quit, and I wasn't an everyday drinker, but it's like I would just, like, you know, have these episodes, and I'm like, okay, now I'm just done now. Can I leave? I promise I'm okay. I'm not going to hurt myself or anybody else, but
is
okay,
it a pain in the ass once you go to get out?
Yes.
Yes. What do they do? Like, because that's what's scary about rehab, I would imagine, is that, like, even if you check yourself in, do they really probably discourage you from leaving?
No, they just, it's essentially the same as, like, being in a hospital and trying to, discharge against medical advice.
Right.
You know, I think that's what it amounts. It's a long time ago. So I can't remember, like, all the ins and outs of it. But, you know, there were going to be insurance issues and all that stuff. And that was part of it. And, you know, trying to, like, well, we already processed, you know, I'm like, can I just go? Can I just, God, I'm done.
Did you smoke cigarettes?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's, I guess, the big thing in rehab, too.
Yeah.
Is you smoke like the Dickens.
Yeah. I wanted nothing to do with it. And I think if I needed, like, detox, I would have been more compelled to stay. But I didn't need to detox. I just wanted to quit. And that was like the biggest thing. If you want to, then that's a lot of it right there. If you're done, then that's a huge component of it. And I was done.
Right.
I was just done.
You were over it.
I didn't need to be convinced to quit at that point.
Do you think you've been comfortable in the group sessions? I would find that to be, I would not be able to communicate, I don't think, honestly.
I don't know, because I never had to do like a rehab group session. I just, you know, have been to tons of meetings, you know. But those, I don't know if they operate the same way they do in, and different facilities probably operate differently. But, you know, the meetings that, you know, I've been to are, you know, the... I have no idea if they would be like that.
So free donuts.
I don't know.
Did you get free donuts?
Hey, I'm not talking about it. I'm not talking about it.
You're not allowed to disclose any information about it.
First rule of group is not to discuss group.
No, I just, laugh if you want, but there are like a few basic tenets that keep a lot of people sober or clean for a long time.
And anyone I know in there?
Right?
So what do you got?
I'll tell you off the air.
I hear there's this Bill W.
Yeah.
Maybe. So you literally can't say if there was donuts?
I'm not. What happens there stays there.
I told you.
What you say here, what you see here, stays there.
Because on TV and the movies, there's always donuts.
Okay. Well, if you enjoy donuts, if that's what it takes to get you in the door, Fred, yes, free donuts.
No, I'm just wondering if you love donuts.
Yeah. Like what do you love?
Donuts.
Okay. Yep. Free donuts, Fred.
You walk in there and you get yourself some donuts. You sit down and you get some tales. Some tales of woe. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
17 years.
That's
of
pretty
sobriety.
Good. Yeah.
Not 17 yet. I don't know.
Well, you'll make it to 17.
I don't know.
I guess that's the attitude you got
to
have.
That's the only way to do it for me anyway.
You got to
maybe tomorrow.
You got to keep yourself on your toes.
Oh.
So, ladies and gentlemen, no confirmation if there's donuts.
I'm not saying one way or the other. If that's
of course you're not saying one way or the other, because then you'd be giving it away. I appreciate you keep those things clandestine.
Mm-hmm.
That's no one's business. Did you get a chip?
You understand that there's two words that describe this group, and the second one is anonymous.
Oh.
So I'm kind of like breaking one of the...
I thought it was alcohol say-it-all.
I'm kind of breaking one of the traditions right now by saying this much.
Alcohol say-it-all. No, you're not. All you said is that you went to alcohol.
Maintain anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film.
No, but you're...
That's one of the traditions.
Okay, all right. Well, then, you know what? Then every book ever written, every biography ever written shouldn't tell people that they... All you said is that you've been in it. You didn't say anything.
You want to know about donuts, and you won't let it go.
A good crawler is a good selling point, man.
Was there coffee? Shut up. Was there coffee? That line doesn't get to be...
Sorry.
Edit that out.
Yeah.
Edit that from the ether as it floats up into space.
All right. Did you give you coffee?
There is coffee.
Oh, nah. Okay.
I'll admit to there being
coffee.
All right.
Well, now I've cracked the code.
Every single meeting I think I've ever been to has had coffee.
Okay. There you go. Do you still go?
Aside from one on a cruise ship. Occasionally, yeah.
Yeah, the cruise ship. But they have the ones on the cruise ship because they give you the schedule for the day. And it's always a really inconvenient time. Like very early in the morning.
Hey, it's not about your convenience, man. What's the most important thing to you on that day? You know?
I would imagine a cruise ship, too. You probably need that.
I don't know. I only went to one once. I haven't been on a ton of cruises. But one of the times I was on a cruise, I went to a meeting. Yes.
I'm not being sarcastic. I would imagine that a cruise ship where you're on a boat with everyone drinking alcohol, that would be a place where you could backslide.
Yeah, helpful. I mean, it could be helpful to be in a meeting situation there. Sure.
Are you ever, like, on a boat, were you ever surprised about the number of people that were there?
No, there was like three of us at the one meeting.
Oh, really? Towns.
Yeah.
I was wondering if there's just like a ton of people that you don't know about it. Maybe they had it at a decent hour.
See the captain walk in. Oh, boy.
The yikes. The guy who flew the plane down here. And he goes, it's been 24 hours since my last drink. You're like, wait a second. You flew me down here. Well, that's the tale of Hardy.
Great.
It's a tale.
What happened to golf? I thought we were going to talk about golf.
Oh, yeah. We're going to do 2 hours on golf.
Good.
You would, wouldn't you?
I think I could probably do an hour on what Tiger has done the last 2 weeks and what Rory did yesterday. Because what Rory did yesterday is what everybody wants Tiger to be right now. Mm-hmm. Rory was on fire yesterday.
And he also acted like a prude.
He acted like a prick on Saturday.
Yes.
And then on Sunday he goes out. And Wallach, do you know what the number was? I think he was 8 under over his final 13 holes.
I thought he birdied 5 of the last 6 or something like that.
He was, I mean, every single shot. And he had one drive, Fred. I think on 17, he hit it 374.
Jesus.
He absolutely unleashed on this ball.
Rory's not a large man.
Yeah, and I think it was Johnny Miller on the NBC telecast who said something like, "Oh, he doesn't need to do this here. Oh God!" And you see him like wind up, kaboom!
Johnny Miller is forever dead to me for being in Tin Cup.
Oh, the whole bar scene. I agree
Tin
with
Cup
that.
Tin Cup is the cheesy one of the cheesiest movies of all time.
The whole bar scene with the pelican, that's shit for me.
The bar scene with the pelican sucks so bad when what's his name takes the gun from the bar and starts using it like a microphone. Like this
is Miller.
That's Miller. That's Miller.
Yeah.
With the mustache and everything.
Yes, that's Miller, isn't it?
Yeah.
No. That's not Johnny Miller.
I thought that was Johnny Miller.
I thought that was Johnny Miller, too.
I agree with him.
The only good part of that was a cool, I got the double bogey blues.
Oh, that's Peter Jacobson.
The guy with the mustache is Peter Jacobson.
No. The guy singing.
Oh,
Peter Jacobson.
Oh.
Does some bluesy golf songs.
Okay.
Somewhere Rick Riley's just humping with a mattress with a hole in it.
Shrugging his shoulders.
Like what you hear?
It's simple. It's natural.
Like 98.5 The Sports Hub on Facebook. And continue the conversation on your favorite sports stories.
We're all compelled to do it.
98.5 The Sports Hub. In your car at 98.5. On your phone on the new Sports Hub app. And on your computer. 98.5thesportshub.com. Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. The Patriots have been absolutely frantic in this free agency period.
You going to correct your mistake before we do anything?
It wasn't Gary McCord. It was Gene Shalit.
It wasn't Johnny Miller in Tin Cup. It was Gary McCord. And I couldn't think of his name, but I knew it wasn't Johnny Miller.
Or Gene Shalit.
Not too many people of a certain age will get that joke, but I think it's pretty funny.
This was the movie that... Big chill, more like the big no thrill.
Gene Shalit was the caddy.
Okay.
He's Kevin Costner's caddy.
Okay.
But Gary McCord was the guy in the bar.
Okay. So Halloween 2 is more like Boring 2. Sophie's Choice, my choice is to leave the theater.
I don't know if you can make a joke about Sophie's Choice.
Well, no, I didn't like the film. Is that how Gene Shalit talks? That's
no.
A bad imitation?
Yeah.
I haven't heard him in a long time.
It's okay. A for effort.
Most people won't know.
That's a good point. I should have kept my mouth closed.
How does he talk?
Oh, it's more guttural, Fred. Not that I could ever do an imitation.
Yeah, Sophie's Choice, more like...
Closer.
How he's like Harvey Firestein.
A little north of Harvey Firestein.
Gene Shalit, dead or alive?
Shalit's alive. I think Gene Shalit still does stuff.
I'm not sure. You might be
Jim Davidson's still alive.
He seems like someone, if he were still alive, they could roll him out once a year and just have him pop up on the Today Show.
The Andy Rooney treatment.
They did with Willard Scott or still do. Willard Scott dead or alive?
Shalit is alive. He's 91.
Oh.
He's 91 years old. No, they looked in the other room.
Oh. Wow.
Charlie Chaplin was a
Willard Scott's that. Still alive. 84.
Okay. Yeah. He's only 84,
Gene
by the way.
Shalit's older than Willard Scott?
By 7
right.
years.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Phil Perry, he is someone who is working for NBC Sports Boston covering the Patriots. He's a co-worker of Hardy's. Hardy Long a lot of times on the same shows.
This is disappointing. I thought Phil Perry was going to be in studio today.
No, not enough going. Well, with the Cordell Patterson news, we were about to bring him in for an hour.
Well, I was hoping so, because let me tell you something about Phil. Easy on the eyes.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, he's not smart. I mean, there's a reason he got that job.
Yeah, but he is a one-man fashion show, so that's what we're
He's just good looking overall.
Yeah,
yeah, he's dreamboat. Is handsome.
You mm-hmm. agree?
Kind of makes you want to kick his ass. Phil Perry, hello.
Fred, you want to go?
Nah.
Is that what that was?
Nah, you'll get the best of me.
I appreciate you guys. You guys are great.
You know,
what's
Phil,
going on?
We got that little Nerf hoop in the studio that we've been yelled at for even looking at, much less playing on.
Really?
Oh, yeah. But let me tell you something. Phil Perry is an absolute monster. Like, if you go up against him, he will score on you, and he will prevent you from scoring. Like, he is a beast.
Well, that thing is at least 7 feet off the ground, so I would imagine.
You would think you could stop him from scoring, right?
Yeah.
Just, like, body him up?
Yeah.
You can't.
No, yeah, you hit him in the balls.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
All right.
The 7 feet off the ground, Fred, actually makes it a little bit harder, because you can't jump, because then you hit the roof.
Right.
And the angles are all different, so it's sort of like a new game for everyone. But I still kind of make it look like Akeem Olajuwon circa 95, 94 maybe even.
Well, you've certainly made a lot of your skills on that.
Wow. I think I started it.
All right, well, very
I'm
good.
I'm to blame.
Okay, well, you're saying that he's strong.
I'm saying he's an athletic, good-looking guy, and we're lucky to have him. Phil, good morning.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, very good.
Are we good?
Thanks
here?
For the time.
We are good. Thank you for the time. We got to move on.
Yeah, we got an update here.
We have a strict clock to hear too. So, Phil, Cordell Patterson. We've found out. I know him from video games. He was very good in video games, returning kicks about 5 years ago. Since I have stopped paying attention to him, what do you make of this?
Still very good at returning kicks, believe it or not, Fred. Probably the best kick returner in football. He's been the best in the league in terms of average, 3 of his 5 years in the league. Really explosive guy, really good athlete. He's not going to return punts for you, so they still have to figure that out. But with Deion Lewis gone, he should be your primary kick returner. He'll also factor in on special teams as a kick coverage guy and a punt team gunner. So if you lose Matthew Slater, you have already lost John Sabatimosi. He'll fill in for you there. He's a team guy. He's a kicking game guy. Will he give you something offensively? I don't know. That remains to be seen. He really hasn't been a consistent receiver at all at any of his spots, either Minnesota or Oakland. And just talking to some people who have coached him, it's just one of those things where he hasn't really figured out the route running stuff yet. He still has some inconsistent hands. So there are still some things there that have limited him as a receiver. You could bring him in every once in a while, have him run a reverse, have him catch a screen and see if he can find a crease and take it a long way. But he's going to be primarily a kicking game guy, in my opinion.
Okay, is there really a market for Slater?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think the fact that he had a visit shows you that, you know, the Steelers are at least interested. He's obviously a tremendous special teamer still at this point in his career. Through his early 30s, a guy who relies on his speed, relies on being explosive. And so I don't know how extensive the market is, in all honesty. And I would think the Patriots would like him back. It would just have to be at a certain price point. And so I wonder if they've already had discussions with Slater and his representatives, and they said, you know what, I think, you know, maybe we'd be able to get a little bit more somewhere else. And so they're just trying to figure out what exactly that market is.
Okay, would he be brought in for, like, leadership? Would that be the number one thing? That because the Steelers locker room obviously has some issues. Do you? And I'll ask you your opinion. Do you believe if they bring in Slater, it has any tangible effect to the attitude of the locker room?
I think Slater is a huge part of what that locker room has been. Does the locker room tangibly, lose whatever it was that he brought? I don't know. They still have a lot of strong.
No, I'm talking about the Steelers or any team. Like if Slater, the team that he goes to, do you think he would have a tangible effect on the culture of that team?
Honestly, I don't know, because it would be a guy who's in his first year who doesn't really know
anything. Yeah,
a lot of guys. I would think. I don't know what his relationships are with the people on the team. He would help. But would he be able to turn it around for a team, like you said, that has looked a little rudderless at times over the last years, and that may be putting it lightly? I'm not sure. I do think that would help him. You have to be able to play, too, and we know he can still play. So I don't think they would just bring him in for that purpose, but I think it would help.
Is it possible, and I can't believe I'm saying this about a special teams player, but because Belichick used a draft pick on him, is it possible there's any gamesmanship here? I mean, Pittsburgh said, oh, look, we're going to take your guy away from you and maybe force the Patriots to spend a little extra to bring him back. Is there any way that's possible?
I don't think so.
Oh, yeah. He'll still be
sort of, I would think he'll fall in lower than even where Cordarrelle Patterson landed when it comes to salary. Cordarrelle Patterson, I think, is a base salary $3 million next year. He's around 3.25 against the cap. I would think Slater would fall somewhere in that range, and so that's not going to kill them either way.
All right, I know it's not the Patriots, but it's in the division. The Jets made a big deal. They gave up 3 second-round picks to move up to the third slot, move up 3 slots in the draft. Because, and there very well might be 2 quarterbacks taken ahead of that pick. What are you hearing in terms of how people are valuing these quarterbacks? Is there one that's far ahead of everyone? Or is there two? Is it possible a team believes that there's 3 that are worth taking a shot at? What are you hearing around the league?
So what I've heard, big picture, is that this group of quarterbacks has maybe been a little bit overrated. The strength is, at the top especially, maybe has been a little bit overrated. The strength of the draft at that position is sort of in its depth. Like, you might be able to find guys in the second round, maybe even the third round, who someday become players because there are just so many who look capable right now. And I think some of these guys, like Darnold, like Rosen, have gotten a little bit overhyped from really before the start of last college football season. And so every little thing they've done well, we've kind of magnified and taken to another level, and we've maybe sort of glossed over some of their weaknesses. When it comes to the specific quarterbacks themselves, I know a lot of people who actually like Josh Rosen as the best quarterback in this draft, as the best fit for the NFL game. But there is a little bit of a question mark when it comes to his personality. Very strong personality, very smart kid, very confident kid, overconfident at times, somebody who will challenge a coaching staff. And from what I heard in Indy when we were all at the combine and people were doing interviews, did challenge a coaching staff in one meeting, and I wouldn't be surprised if it happened in a couple of others when it came to just talking football. And so that part sort of, I think, makes some teams nervous. But I do think that there are a lot of teams that say, okay, we could get, you know, whether it's Darnold, Rosen, or Josh Allen, we can come away with a true franchise guy here. And so I think that's what the Jets must be looking at those three as the top three, because they must be okay with taking any one of them. Because, like you said, they know that there are a couple quarterbacks that could go before they pick.
And by the way, I don't think they'd take Josh Allen because he's been very vocal about Donald Trump, and I'm not lying. I think Woody Johnson would Rosen, right, because he's been so vocal about Trump, and Woody Johnson is a huge supporter of Trump and a huge... He bought his way into he's the ambassador to the United Kingdom, so look for the Jets to screw themselves out of something. What's that?
Yeah. It's a good point. I hadn't thought of that, Fred. It's a good point. Maybe, I don't know. Do they love Rosen? Do they love Mayfield? You know, who knows at the time. I actually kind of like what the Jets are doing. Do you like what they're doing in terms of stockpiling quarterbacks here? They have, you know, they have McCown who could play next year. You have Bridgewater, who's not going to be breaking the bank by any means. And then you take a shot on a quarterback, and then, you know, in 2018, either Bridgewater or the guy you drafted should be good to go.
Yeah, I like what they're doing. They had to trade up. I mean, Maccagnan had to, because that's not even his MO. And I do like that they got Bridgewater, because there is a slight chance that if he's healthy, Bridgewater becomes something. So I think you have to take a flyer on him. So
only 25 years old.
Only 25 years old. All right, Phil Perry, master of the Nerf hoop. We appreciate you coming on, and thanks so much.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Bye. All right, appreciate it. The very handsome Phil Perry joining us. When we come back, Rory, Matt, I'm going to do this for Hardy.
Okay.
But I don't want to talk about his golf game.
Okay.
I want to talk about what a prude he is and my overall problems with golf.
Good.
We're forever trying to get through this Aaron Hernandez two-part documentary and find something of any interest to it. Because
a team of experts scouring for something actually, compelling in it.
Actually, that was the directive that Fred gave everyone.
This Baez, this Baez guy who doesn't think Aaron Hernandez did it.
He's defense attorney, yes.
Right, and then Kirk and Callahan did it, even though they're big, you know, we're on the right side, but they had still ended up doing it. And so we're looking for anything of any interest, anything that's not a complete bore during the documentary, and it's impossible. Mike Lockhart's going through with a fine-tooth comb, and we cannot find anything even interesting enough to take up 30 seconds of the show.
Well, I would think it would be very boring to watch a documentary about Aaron Hernandez and his innocence.
It's just a complete bore.
Because
the entire thing, everyone who's on it is a complete bore.
Yeah.
It's just boring and dumb.
And it's like the basis of the entire documentary.
But that would make
foolish.
It interesting. But I mean, like, okay, how's this guy going to spin that Aaron Hernandez didn't do it? But meanwhile, everyone on the thing is such a complete bore that it's managed to make itself awful. It's 4 hours of tedium. It's 4 hours of like the station at the hotel that just shows the fire. That's all it is. Lockhart's in there, and he's like, I can't get one thing. It's such a bore. It's so boring. Everyone's comments, every idiot that they have on that thing is such an abject bore. Like, I was all set to make fun of him and everything else, but you're so stupid and boring during the whole thing that he can't even do that great. Big bores. By the way, I get a big bunch of crap for wanting to make a documentary about the losers that Twitter over here. But then I can go ahead and be in a documentary that was made by the guy that believes Aaron Hernandez is completely innocent. That's right. I'm the idiot. I'm the loser.
you big boring pieces of garbage. I was looking all forward in here to even making fun of you. There's nothing to make fun about. And nothing that we looked at and said, wow, that's good. It's just all tedium and garbage.
I like your Twitter idea.
Everyone, but Mike Thomas likes my Twitter idea. Everyone does. But
well, who's giving you a hard time about it?
Well, I don't know. Apparently, I'm getting a lot of crap for it.
Oh.
I don't even know who's doing it. The other station's doing it. They're
Twitter trolls to prove your point even further.
Mm. That's right. Here are the headlines. 985, the sports hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Hardy's in for Rich. Rory McIlroy is a golfer, and then you can tweet Hardy at Hardy.
And at Hardy 985. Also, the Sports Hub Golf Club has its own Twitter account at Sports Hub GC.
How many followers on that son of a bitch?
A few hundred, probably.
All right, good for you. Well, you go at Hardy 985, and you can discuss to your heart's content about McIlroy and his long drives and everything else that he's got going for him.
Let me see.
Did you sit there in rapt attention of the tournament? Yes, the Orlando, did you stand in rapt attention during the Arnold Palmer Invitational?
Yeah, I watched a good chunk of the final round. I recorded it while I was watching Michigan State, and then once Michigan State...
So what, do you just sit around the house all day?
Oh, my God. You have no idea what my day was like yesterday. Do you want to do a segment on this instead? I was on the air with Hook for 4 hours yesterday.
Is that difficult? On the weekend, do you try...
Oh, yeah. I thought we did a decent show yesterday.
No. I know. I only heard a little bit of it. I didn't think it was bad. But do you, or do you save the good stuff for the solo record? You know, that sometimes guys
like
are
Phil Collins
that.
Was doing with Genesis?
Yeah, he was saving the hits. Susu Studio never
Well, we
made
didn't do
it
any bits. But speaking of that, once I got home from working 4 hours on the air.
No, I didn't complain about your work for this.
What you said is, what do you do? Sit around and watch TV all day. No, what I did is I went down into the production and sports laboratory there in Rossi. And from
laboratory?
From the lower level there, I can work in my little home studio. I can keep an eye on the TV out there. And what I did was I finished two bits for today and tomorrow for this show.
Yeah,
I kept an eye on
Michigan,
and I watched Michigan State. And then I did I watched the golf. And then I did another show, which I pre-recorded, that will air tonight on a completely different platform.
That's going to take you 5 seconds.
I worked from 9 a.m. until 9:30 last night, pretty much. I worked all day yesterday. So up yours. And I managed to watch a basketball game and a golf tournament. Along with
so
them.
You were in your house for 12 hours?
No, I was... Did you hear the first part? I was here from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. holding Hook's hand through 4 hours of sports talk.
You were carrying him?
Totally. Hey, he's a nice kid, but yeah. What do you want? You want the Hook solo show? Can't happen.
Would they ever give him the keys to a show? Ever gotten that?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, you're very excited because Rory McIlroy has won that tournament.
No.
But Rory McIlroy is suggesting that they cut off alcohol sales. He's had it up to here. The golf crowds, in fairness, Hardy, outside of Phoenix, have gotten very, very rowdy. There is, having gone to the whatever the Deutsche Bank is called now,
Dell Technologies.
Yeah, it is. It's like a Harley Davidson get together.
Okay.
If you ever read the Hell's Angels, the book by Hunter Thompson. It's exactly like that.
Okay, two things. Rory on Saturday got all pissy because he thought people were drinking too much.
Yeah, he said there's one guy out there who kept yelling my wife's name. I was going to go over and have a chat with him. Well, why didn't you? I don't know. I think it's gotten a little much, to be honest. I think they need to, which is fine. If someone starts saying stuff you don't like, you have every right to say that. But it goes, I think that they need to limit alcohol sales on the course, or they need to do something because every week it seems like guys are complaining about it more and more.
I think the galleries can fix this themselves by doing a little self-policing. If there's somebody there who's like completely out of line, like talking about somebody's wife or saying something, and you've been to the Dell Technologies or Deutsche Bank, have you ever taken your kids there?
No.
Okay.
We'd be there for 2 minutes.
No, I've taken my daughter to golf tournaments and she enjoys it for a little while. But it's like if someone's like truly out of line, especially if there's kids around, I would say something myself or I would grab a marshal or a cop and say, this guy's out of line.
So you're a narc.
I'm not a narc, but I think there's, like you would at a game, if there's somebody who's like completely out of line and making other people uncomfortable or acting in a way that's just completely out of bounds.
Other than challenging people to fight, what would make you uncomfortable at a golf tournament?
I think if somebody is there, and this is the thing about a golf tournament, you have like much closer access to these guys than you do in other sports.
Right.
And if they're getting like personal, if the guy's like saying something like really off color about McElroy's wife,
well, you just said his wife's
name. Say something to him. I don't know.
Well,
what he was
you
saying.
Would say something to
of
him.
Of course,
that's
I would.
Okay, fine. But you also are young Charles Bronson. You're a guy who plays by his own rules. You're a vigilante.
That's right.
But do you think...
I carry a leather sap in my hip pocket and go upside his head with that thing.
But if you really want to endear yourself to fans, if you're McElroy, just start talking about how they got to curb alcohol sales at these things.
I asked Ryan Johnston about this yesterday, and he was talking about
who?
How...
I'm just kidding. Here we go. I'm just kidding. I know who
it is. You're in lockstep with Ryan about the golf tournament being a good time. You go there and drink and hang out and stuff. I said, what if they limited alcohol sales? You said I wouldn't go.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, careful, Rory. And even worse than him was Justin Thomas, this soft as baby poo guy who a couple of weeks ago had a guy kicked out. Do you know why Justin Thomas had a fan kicked out?
No.
Because the fan was yelling for his ball to get in the bunker.
Oh, Jesus.
And after a shot, it got picked up on audio. Justin Thomas walks through. Who said that? You just yelled for my ball to get in the bunker? Oh, real nice, pal. Have a good day. You're out of here.
So you're,
and he had him kicked out.
You're not allowed to root against someone. You're not. So what do they want the fans to? How exactly then am I appreciating golf? If I can't root against someone, how am I appreciating golf?
I really.
Because now it's not even about alcohol or being unruly.
Right, right.
Now it's just, I have to like everyone equally.
A lot of these guys are super, super soft. Justin Thomas, chief among them, right? But think of it this way, Fred. And this is the only thing I'll say in slight defense of what Rory is saying. Have you ever been to a game, a football game or a hockey game, a baseball game, where someone's had like too much to drink and making it uncomfortable for the people around him?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Imagine that in a place that also is serving hard alcohol,
right?
And it's been going on for 8 hours.
Okay, so what percentage of the crowd in Orlando do you think was absolutely unruly?
It only takes a couple of guys.
Yeah, kick a couple guys out.
Well, that's what Rory is saying.
No, he's saying to limit alcohol sales.
That's a lot different. There's alcohol. There's alcohol sold at all of the major sporting events. Can you imagine? Look, whatever the case may be. I mean, you look at baseball. If you did not serve alcohol at baseball games, would that limit the amount of fans that would go?
Yes.
Yeah. Think about how many people who sit in the bleachers. That would be empty alcohol sales.
I love going to baseball games, but I can't imagine...
Basketball, hockey, take your pick. It's every major sport all have alcohol sales.
And to limit them to what? Like, at what point? These guys all play... They're not playing the same hole at the same time. Limit them to what? So you want the gallery to be like four people? At the end of the tournament?
Yeah.
I just think that
limiting alcohol is the worst idea, and Rory knew better. And to Rory's credit, whoever was heckling him, I'm sure there were people saying stuff to him on the second day, and he absolutely killed it yesterday. I've got more of a problem with guys like Justin Thomas who have people kicked out for rooting against him. That is the worst. That is the worst. And a guy who used to be bad with the fans and not being able to tolerate any kind of chit-chat from the gallery, Tiger Woods, he doesn't care anymore. The only thing he says is, like, just don't yell during our backswings. That's the only thing I would ask. And I think that's a reasonable...
That's fair.
I think that's
sure
a reasonable request. But even that, if it happens, I don't think you deserve to get kicked out over it. I think these guys are coddled from such a young age.
I mean, you think so that now he wants to police a bunch of people older than him?
Yeah.
Like, hey, can you do something about these people drinking that are 20 years older than me?
But you just have to take into consideration for a fact, Fred, and I'll go back to this again. We've all been to a sporting event where somebody's had a couple too many beers.
Didn't kick them out.
And has caused a problem. You can imagine what type of problem that becomes when people are being served liquor for twice the amount of time and they're left to their own devices.
Then kick them out. I don't have a problem kicking someone out who's making an ass of themselves and making everyone uncomfortable. I don't have a problem with that at all. And I'm sure at a golf tournament, it's much more obvious because it's quiet as hell and you're standing in a smaller group.
But it's also tougher to police. I mean, like, you know, they reference the Waste Management Open in this article, the one in Phoenix. Do you know how many people go to that thing? Do you know how many people go to that thing?
How many?
500,000 people over the course of 4 days.
NASCAR gets it done.
The year I went, there were 200,000 plus people there on that Saturday of Super Bowl weekend in Phoenix. That week we were all there, right?
Wow.
How do you police that many people and make sure everybody's behaving themselves spread out over how many acres?
Yeah.
The 300 acres over a golf course.
No.
That's a tough gig.
National Guard. I've been getting a lot of flack for something. Hardy wants to put this to the test. We will have that for you coming up in just a moment.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, so how was your week?